You are now listening to a Word for Deliverance podcast with Pastor Leonard D. Cochran of A Place of Refuge Newnan. A Place of Refuge Newnan is located in the city of Newnan, Georgia. To stay better connected with us, to receive exclusive information and updates, be sure to download our church app, A Place of Refuge Newnan, or visit our church website at apor-newnan.org. Now, let's join in for today's lesson.
You're not dogged. Oh, let me say it again. If you have become weary in doing good, you're not dogged. And if you are dogged in doing good, you are not weary. You haven't got tired of doing what's right. You know the old saints, you say, been running for Jesus a long time. Oh, I ain't got no older saints in here. And ain't got tired what? Yet. Ain't got tired yet. No, been running for him what? Long time. And ain't got tired yet. That's a lot of our testimony. But notice, again, my subject this morning is that, again, we don't need to be weary in a year where God deemed it that we needed to be dogged. And so my subject this morning is simply dogged about doing good. Dogged about doing good. Again, Paul said, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. We don't want to be weary in doing good. We want to be dogged in doing good, or dogged about doing good. Amen. Can we give God a praise for our text and our subject this morning? Dogged about doing good. Come on, if that's you, just give God a praise. Give him a hallelujah. If you are dogged about doing good, Pastor, I'm being dogged about doing what's right. I'm dogged about it, and that's where we need to be. Sadly, I say it every year, and it seems as if it comes to pass every year, that we will get a theme, and people will be excited at the first of the year, but then as the year progresses, they start becoming the opposite of the theme. They start out excited about being dogged, but then they allow weariness to get a hold to them, and they begin to lose their doggedness. And we know this year, if we lose our doggedness, then we forfeit our rewards. And see, I can't afford to forfeit my rewards, or that which God has intended, are y'all listening, for me to receive this year. Amen. That's two amens. That's 3, 4, 5, 6. I can't afford it. I cannot live without what God wants me to have. Well, Pastor, you could if you try. I'm not even going to try. I don't even want that mindset. If God says, I have something for you this year, but you're going to have to be dogged in order to receive it. Whoa. Get ready. You're going to see me being dogged. Come on. You're going to see me operating in doggedness, because that indirectly says to God, I want it. I want it. What you talked to me about, I want it. What you showed me in a dream, I want it. What you revealed in a vision, I want it. See, God will show you something as you sleep. Yes, he will. God will drop things into your being. Come on. And see, I take stuff like that serious when I know it's coming from God. This is God revealing to me the things that he has for me. And I'm the same way about the church. When God reveals things that he wants the church to do, y'all know I'm a dogged pastor. Y'all know I'm going to be about making sure that we're doing what God would have for us to do. I recognize some are going to get weary. I won't allow them to be my focus. But if you can give me, come on, I don't need a whole lot. If you give me a few people that's got my same spirit, give me a few people willing to be dogged. They can come out of South Carolina. They can come out of Alabama. They can come from here, there. Come on. Give me a few people that say, Pastor, I got your spirit. We are connected. I'm just as serious about being dogged as you are, Pastor. Hey, I'm going to take them few people and we're going to get some stuff done. We're going to get some stuff done while those who are weary sit back looking at us. See, weary folk tend to do a lot of wishing. See, if you would get busy being dogged, you don't have to just be a person who's just always wishing, always window shopping. See, doggedness will cause you to go in the store. Oh, I'm talking right. Some of you don't like that. Don't you know God will see you with your eye on something? Or y'all don't think he see you? You don't think God be looking at you when you window shopping? Some of us know he looked at us when we were window shopping. Pastor, how do we know? Because we have the thing right now that we used to look at through the window. Yeah, we do. Some of you are wearing it. Some of you are driving it. Some of you are living in it. Woo! And so he gives them a warning. Yeah, that's real. So God don't want his people just looking at things. God will see you with your eye on things. And then he'll tell you, this is what I love about it, he'll tell you exactly what you need to do to possess that. He'll talk to you. Give like this. Pray like this. Pray at this time. And see, the killer of all of this is weariness. Notice what Paul had to address when we deal with this church. Just look back at verse 6. Look back at verse 6. Because there's some things going on in Thessalonica. But notice what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 6. He said, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. That God is telling us again that we can't hang with everybody. You just can't hang with everybody. Notice that you will have disorderly people in the church. Come on, did y'all notice that? Not outside of the church, but disorderly in the church. People who are not doing what they should be doing. And see, you have to understand this about the God to whom we serve, that he is a God of order. If God has anything to do with anything or anybody, you will see divine order. You're going to see divine order. Divine order simply means sometimes there are things you should do, but there are things you shouldn't do. See, that's saying that a church has order. Church has order. When a house has order, people in that house don't just get to do, I'm teaching good, whatever they think is right to do. No, we have order here. And where there is no order, you have confusion and chaos. But I love what Jesus said through the Apostle Paul, that he is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. God wants peace in his house. But you know what I love about it? God wants peace in my house. Yeah, dude. There's order when God is in something. But notice here are some saints who are going about being what Paul describes as disorderly. People doing things, saying things, behaving in ways that's out of order. That's out of order. That's not the way we do things. That's not the protocol here. Come on, somebody. Many of us done dealt with people who are disorderly. And many of us have been disorderly. Am I right? Notice again, but we command you, brother, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember I said that thing, having Jesus as Lord, that should be what unites us, makes us brethren. We command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. See, you really have to watch people when the word is going forth, but they're not walking in the word. You have to have enough discernment to know that God been telling us to do this, but so-and-so is busy doing that. You have to have discernment to know who is not just hearing the word, but you need discernment to know who's putting the word into action. Am I right? Notice what he says in verse 11, because he deals with it a little bit more. For we hear, notice what Paul said, for we hear. And notice what Paul heard about what was taking place in the church. He had to have heard it from a good or a reliable source. Because what Paul heard, he believed or received as truth. No doubt God had been dealing with the man of God. And then all of a sudden he hears something. For we hear, I'm in verse 11. For we hear that there are some, who walk among you in a disorderly manner. Uh-oh. Watch Paul deal with this thing. Not working at all. Not working at all. Not working at all. Not doing what they should be doing. See, I got a word for us this morning. We got to get dogged so much so that we're busy doing what we need to be doing and we don't have time for things that's not a part of my assignment. See, if you busy being dogged, you ain't got time for foolishness. I got too much on my plate. Come on, to be dealing with things that don't concern me. One of the quickest ways to lose your doggedness is to be putting your nose in things that's none of your business. It distracts you. I said it distracts you. When something distracts you, it has the tendency to break your focus. Oh, come on. To divide your mind. Your mind need to be on taking care of business. Woo! And see, let me drop one on us. The word dogged in and of itself is neither good nor bad. Dogged in and of itself, the word is neither good nor bad. If you look at a person, you say, Pastor, he dogged. Now, until you reveal to me what he's dogged about, I can't say whether it's good or bad. Come on, because Paul just told us that there are people, notice what he called them. Notice what he called them. They ain't doing nothing. They're just doing everything they shouldn't be doing. Woo, let me say that again. It's not like they're not doing anything. They're working. They're busy. But they're busy with things they shouldn't be busy about. Do all of you truly believe that there are some things we all need to stay out of? Do you believe that? That thing get to happening on your job. If you ain't careful, people will try to pull you in. That ain't even your department. You need to learn how to tell people, look, I'm focused on, I got a lot on my plate. Have you heard what's going on? You know what? If it don't really, you know, I ain't got time. I ain't got time. I got a lot on my plate. And everything that's on my plate, listen, God has put it on my plate. Come on. So I don't have room to go be putting something on my plate that will serve as a distraction. Come on. But Pastor, I'm good at solving problems. You should be good at solving the problems God wants you to solve. Oh, it's quiet in the house. We dealing. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Do you see it? See, they busybodies. Busy doing what they shouldn't be doing. Busy talking about what they shouldn't be talking about. See, y'all didn't know messy folks are busy people. Yeah, a messy person is dogged. They gonna get the scoop. A messy person will not sleep until they have some of the tea. They can't rest. They dogged. I got to find out what's going on over there. See, some of you know what's going on in other people's marriage. But see, your marriage ain't where it need to be. Then you got single folk, they overly concerned about somebody that's married. You out your field. See, we all got to know how to travel in our lane. I'm teaching good. You got to know how to stay in your lane. What tries to pull us out of our life? The flesh. The flesh will try to pull us out of our lane or where we need to be. Even what we need to be doing. Here's Paul addressing busybodies. People who don't have time to do what's right. Woo! But they make time to do what's wrong. You don't have time to pray or to talk to God, but you find the time to call so-and-so for y'all to have y'all weekly discussion about what's wrong with the church. So you're not going to miss that weekly discussion. See, you busy. Woo! It seemed a little tight. I say, you busy. And see, this reading, Paul sends that warning. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in doing good. And see, if that's the case, saints, every one of us got to know how to stay focused on what truly matters. Did y'all hear me? I said every one of us, I'm including myself. I got to know how to stay focused this year on what truly matters. And not to allow anything or anybody to distract me. And cause me to become discouraged about the things I see that I shouldn't be looking at, nohow. The things I heard, which I shouldn't have been listening to, anyhow. Come on. See, this is the reason some folk get weary at doing good. Who you hanging with? Who are you talking to? Who are you giving so much power to that when it comes to being dogged about doing good, you have no energy? No energy. Let me deal with this. Number one, to be weary is to be faint-hearted. To be faint-hearted. Number two, to be weary has to do with a person who is fading away. You're fading away. Started out dogged, but now you're fading away. You're getting off the right path. And see, the proverb writer dealt with people who would leave the path of righteousness to walk in darkness. If you're taking note, I want us to receive that getting weary is a choice. It's a choice. I love that God did not make the devil nor demons all powerful. To the point to where whatever the devil want to do in reference to he has all power. No, the devil don't have all power. Come on, demons don't have all power. A demon can't make you weary. You, come on, I'm teaching good. You make a choice to become weary or to start fading away. It's a choice. And then you get off of the path of righteousness. And notice it, and start walking in darkness. Listen, we go back to walking in what God pulled us out of. See, how many have a testimony that God pulled you out of darkness? See, if he truly pulled you out of darkness to walk in his marvelous light, don't make the choice to become weary. Don't choose to fade away. Stay dogged. Stay in the fight. Stay in the battle. Keep doing what is right. Are y'all with me this morning? Finally, that word deals with to become spiritless. 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 Be not weary in well-doing. Do not become spiritless. Spiritless means that you are lacking zeal or passion about doing good or right. Have you ever noticed that some folk in the church never get excited about the things of God the way they get excited about the things of the world? Have y'all noticed that? That you have people in the church, if it's something worldly going on, oh, they are passionate about their worldly events, their worldly things. Oh, Lord, I may be stepping on too many toes. But when it concerns the church, when it concerns ministry, when it concerns their auxiliary, they're spiritless. They have no zeal for the things of God. Something wrong with that. Oh, Lord, I said something is wrong with that, saints. Amos had to warn the church. In Amos 6:1, Amos said, woe to those who are at ease in Zion. See, one thing we never want to do is to lose our fire. Don't lose your zeal for God. Don't lose your passion for doing what is right. Because when we lose our passion for doing what is right, we are going to live to regret moving off of the right path onto the wrong path. Some of you should be clapping, giving me more amen, because you did it before. I've been guilty of allowing something or somebody to pull me off of the right path, and I regretted it. I regretted not staying dogged about doing good. I regret allowing that gossip to get in my spirit. I regret. Oh, yeah, you. Some of us done got gossip in our spirit, came to church, and we couldn't praise God the way we wanted to. We wasn't free. It's like we were shackled and chained. That's what gossip do. It changes you. It takes away your fire. Gossip cools you off, but I can't afford to be cooled off. I got to stay on fire. And I want to know if there's anybody else in church. You still on fire for God. You ain't lost your zeal. You ain't lost your passion. Getting up in age, but you still got fire. You still love the things of God. Love coming to church. I love praising God. And I don't mean no harm when I say this. Don't nobody take it the wrong way. But the praise team this morning did an excellent job at singing. But in my opinion, they did a little too much pumping. It shouldn't take all that. No, I'm rebuking this church. It's too many testimonies we done heard for a praise team to have to get up and pump and prime you to give God praise, the one you say you love. Gotta ask you to clap. Gotta ask for you to stand. Come on, something wrong with that. When you lose your fire, ain't nobody gotta beg you to praise God. No, Pastor, I came to give him praise. Why you think I came to church? I came to give him the glory, the honor, and all of the praise. And some of y'all still ain't moved. Oh, you done lost your fire. You done lost your zeal. Come on. Somebody know I'm right about it. We have to be dogged about doing what's good. You have to be dogged about doing what's good. Good is simply what's right in the eyes of God. Be dogged. Be determined to keep doing what's right in the eyes of God. Why am I stressing in the eyes of God? Because of what the proverb writer reveals, that a fool is right in his own eyes. See, I don't want to deem something right just because I think it's right. No, I want to learn to be dogged about doing good, right, or what's right in God's. Because there's a reward in that. I said, there's a reward in that. I need to break this down. There's a reward in staying on the right path. Because I don't care what nobody say. I don't care how people try to make it look. Anytime a person gets off the path of doing good, whether they say it or not, they're going to regret that. They're going to regret that. Man, she's been doing good for all these years. Now, all of a sudden, she's allowing something or somebody to cause her to get weary in doing good. You know what I know about that sister? She gonna regret that. She gonna regret that. See, if a person is trying to get at you, I mean trying to get on your lab, and they're just trying to push every button they know to push to get a response out of you, and if you know that they reached the boiling point, but yet in you is instructions from God to say nothing. I'm going to have to break that back down because y'all didn't get it. I said that you reached the breaking point. They have not just pushed a button, but they pushed the right button. Now, usually that demands a response. But God said, don't say nothing. I'm preaching good. Do you realize that saying nothing is doing good? Saying nothing is doing what's right. I don't care how you feel. If God says say nothing, as long as you keep your trap shut, you doing good. I said, you doing good. Yeah, the flesh wants you to talk, but you doing good. Shut your mouth. Don't respond. Don't give them what they want. How many times have we been doing good? Now, I'm still staying with that response. Because there are some people that need to shut their mouth. No, that ain't funny. There's some people. Let me tell you something. You don't reach a level where you don't want to respond sometimes to things that you know wrong, to being treated wrong. No, you don't reach a point to where you never want. No, you want to respond. Oh, I'm finna make somebody upset. You want to cuss them out. You want to really tell them where they can go. Don't call me no more. Don't ask me for that. Don't. But see, God just said, don't say nothing. But then you said something. Then you open up your mouth. Why did you do it? I read the text. You got weary in doing good. Well, I'm going to say this right here and then I'm done. And I live to regret what I said. But see, I got weary doing good. What was good? Just keeping my mouth closed. Because see, I'm going to tell y'all, there are things. Now, when I got mature, I learned that it don't matter how much I want to say something. My lip is jumping. My tongue is tingling. Come on, some of you like me, when you really get mad, your lip jump. You can't hide it from people who truly know you. And somebody that really know you, they'll be saying that, say it. Tell me. But see, all they take is getting weary and doing good. And we say what we shouldn't say. How many of y'all been there? And then we regret what we said. Trying to take back what you said. And see, but see, you can take it back, but you can't take it out the person's memory. Well, forgive me, I didn't mean how it came. Nope. But see, you should have been dogged in doing what? Good. I'm in the house. Notice Deuteronomy. See, notice Deuteronomy. Ooh. Pastor, I'm going through some stuff financially. I'm dealing with this. Pastor, I'm dealing with that. But see, you got to be dogged in giving. You got to be dogged when it comes to giving. Why? Because you know giving changes your living. Come on. Give and it shall be what? Give it. Good? Yes. Press? Yes. Shaken? Yes. And running what? See, I can't afford to get weary in something that has that much power. That has that much power. Giving has power to change things. Woo! That a job can't change. Giving has the power to change. Oh, how many witnesses do I have? What overtime can't change. What a second, a third, and a fourth job cannot do. There are breakthroughs that come through giving when you learn to be dogged at it and say, I'm going to keep doing what's good no matter what. I'm not going to get weary in giving to God. I'm not going to get weary in giving to God. Everything I have is a result of being a dogged giver. Everything I possess, everything I've been able to do to accomplish came through my giving. And I hear you out there, well, I didn't give you some money. You gave it to me because of my giving. What you think caused you me to be on your heart and say, I want to do something for my pastor? It was my giving that caused God to lay me on your heart. Come on. And he laid people on my heart. Do this for them. Help them to get this done. Make sure they're able to do this, this, and this. I'm all in the house. But see, Pastor, how can you preach like that with that much passion and zeal? Because I've gotten weary at doing good. I've gotten weary at doing good in ministry. I've got weary at doing good in my home. Probably every aspect of my life, I've gotten weary doing good. Are y'all listening? Doing what's right, but spiritless. We can't let that happen. We can't let that happen. Notice Deuteronomy. Lord have mercy. We can't let that happen. You're not the only one going through stuff. You can't get weary in doing good. Oh, yeah, you the one asked God to take you to another level. That's what get me by folk. You ask God, Lord, take me to another level. Y'all not church folk can talk. Lord, I want a fresh anointing. See, all you're doing is asking for fresh trials. And then some of you go so far, Lord, give me a double portion of what pastor got. You know what you're asking for? Come on, somebody. Sometimes we ask for things, and then God, in his omniscience, he knows what it's going to take to get us there. Come on. See, most of the people that I see getting weary in well-doing, they're getting weary with a process that they don't like. A process that they have not learned to appreciate. See, most of us love God. We love God because he does things sometimes immediately. And see, y'all shouldn't act like that. Most of us, when God moves immediately, we are some happy people. And you'll let folk know it too. I'm telling you, God did it today. I just prayed about it Tuesday. And when I tell you, girl, it wasn't Thursday night and I got the call. Did you hear what I said? That's less than 48 hours, girl, and God turned that thing completely around. See, all of us ready for that. We'll line up now for a 48-hour blessing. But who would get in this line over here that God said, this is a tremendous blessing, but it has a process to it. Most of every one of you going to wrap out to that foyer in that 48-hour line. How many know what I'm talking about? How many of you have something right now? You're doing something that's in God's will, but it was a process for you to get to that place. God took you. How many God took you through a process? Now, in that process, you had to fight off getting what? Weary. And see, what I want the church to know is this is not something that happened to one or two people in the church. This is what all saints go through when you're in God's process or when you're working on God's timing, which is not like our timing. His ways, not our ways. His thoughts, not our thoughts. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my ways and so are my thoughts from your thoughts. See, if we ain't careful, we can be weary because of what we think. But that thought is not God's thought. Come on. Perhaps I should have been there by now. Say, it's who? See, who's saying that? Who's telling? And by all means, be careful of these, I don't even know what to call them, these spooky people in church who know everything about you. God showing me you should have been there. Been well. The things he has for what things? I'm just trying to give you props. I don't know why you're being so difficult. Stuff like that causes you to become weary. Be careful, people who come up to you and say, God gonna do it by Friday. But God ain't told you he going to do it by Friday. He just told you, I'm going to do it. That one loud clap. What we do with somebody, God told me to tell you he going to do it by Friday. That's confirmation. God says it's going to be a process before it finally happens. Why is that never confirmation? Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12. Yeah, 12. Deuteronomy 12. We moving. Deuteronomy 12. See, you have to teach like this. You have to teach like this. Because some of us look at people who God is truly, truly blessing, and you think that they arrived at that place just overnight. You think they didn't go through anything. That's just wrong. Oh, y'all got to help me right there. Just look at somebody and say, that's just wrong. That's just wrong. Look at somebody and say, if Pastor talking about you right now, you just wrong as wrong can be. Not only thing that God do for us in the church, there's a process. Things he do for you outside of the church, there's a process. There are things that he going to take us through. There are different things he going to allow in the process to come against you. To even oppose you. Yeah. So you just want a certain person to get fired on the job. No, God going to keep that person on that job. Because that person is part of your process. They are part of you being ultimately who God wants you to be. And so that confirmation. Confirmation. Stop praying that person get fired. That person needs their job. You're going to finally realize like, oh, you were helping me. You were helping me. Deuteronomy 12. I'm coming, y'all. But boy, I'm telling you, you just have to preach a message like this to understand what I'm dealing with this morning. Proverbs 12 and 28. Observe and obey all these words. Notice, which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever. Oh, see, that's something to get happy about. Obey, observe, and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever. When you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. Did y'all see that? If I'm dogged about doing good, it is well. It's well. What's going on in my body? It's well. It's well. It's well. I can say it's well because I'm dogged about doing what's good and right. Y'all didn't even get excited like I wanted to. Don't worry about it. Observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you. That it may go well with you. Watch this. And God say, if you do right, if you're dogged in doing good, God say, I'm going to make sure that it don't just go well with you. I'm going to come down, make sure it go well with your seed. You know what God told you? You ain't got to worry about your children. You ain't got to worry about your grandkid. Be dogged in doing good. And God say, I'm giving you my promise. It's going to be well with them. It's going to be well. You ought to look at somebody that you know dogged about doing good and shout to him or her, it is well. Pastor, you don't know what all I'm going through. Are you dogged in doing good? If you are, it is well. How many believe that? It is what? Well. Do you know you have to know this and have the ability to dry tears up? It's well. God want me to pause right there and tell somebody that. I don't know what happened last night. I don't know what happened yesterday or Wednesday or Thursday. But God telling me to let the people know it is well. It is well. Oh, Lord. I feel the power of God up in the house. Yes, I do. Go to three people and tell him or her it is well. Preach that to them. I got to get ready to close, but preach that to somebody. Tell them it's well with you. Oh, it's well with you. It's well with your children. It's well with your money. It's well with your bills. Come on. It's well for your marriage. I'm talking right. I'm talking right. It is well. It is what? It is what? It is what? Facing trouble, but? Got enemies, but? Hold on, musicians. I said, I got enemies, but it is. I got enemies, but it is. I got people that don't like me, but it is. I got four want to see me fall, but it is. It is. It is. Tell two more four. It's well. It's well. I know it. Oh, it's well. See, in a minute, it's going to get in somebody. And they're going to start leaping because they recognize, oh, God talking to me. He talking to me about what's going on, about that email I got. God talking to me about that letter that I got. It is well. Look, be seated. Look at Psalms 38. Look at Psalm 38. Boy, I love that scripture right there. And you think I'm going to get weary in doing good and I got that promise? You think I'm going to become spiritless with no zeal about preaching, about teaching, about leading, and I got that promise? Y'all, I so believe that scripture that when I look at my grandkids, I see good on them. I see prosperity on them. Pastor, you see it on them from their crown to the soles of their little feet. You know why? Because I know Paul dogged about doing good. Don't. I know stuff my children go through. I know it's well with them. They're going to come through it all right. Everything go. And they'll tell you when they call that, everything is well. Now, some of you older saints, that's what you have to be telling your loved ones. That's how we encourage each other. When you come to church and been going through something and your sister hug you and say, girl, it is well. It's well with you. They don't have to know your business. Well, you know what I'm going. I don't need to know what you're going through. It's well with you. It's well with you, Minister Atkinson. It's well with you. The place God had brought you to, it's God that elevated you. Man can't bring you down. Man can't fire you if he didn't hire you. Oh, y'all wasn't ready for it. I thought y'all were ready for me to get. Come on, she ain't the only one. It's well. Psalm 38. Psalm 38. Listen to me. Listen to me in my clothes. See, don't get weary in doing good because of what enemies are doing. I need to show y'all something about doing good, about being dogged about doing good. Because some of you don't know this until I reveal it to you. No, Psalm 38. We in the clothes. Psalm 38. Because see, some of you don't know this. There's something that come with doing good. No, you clapping, but you ain't going to like, from a natural standpoint, what comes with doing good. There's something that comes with doing good. Psalm 38, David revealed it. David revealed it in Psalm 38 and 20. Watch this. Oh, somebody ain't ready. Somebody ain't ready for it. You ready, Senior Minister Gamble? All right. You ready, Grandma? All right. Psalm 38, 20. Those also who render evil for good. So you got folk that you're going to do good by, but they're going to render evil to you. Oh, y'all, stop right there. Pause for the cause. Everybody that you do good toward, will not give you good in return. You just need to let that soak in. Pastor, I prayed for her when she wanted such and such. And then I showed her what God did for me. And Pastor, you know, she had the nerve to look at it and turn around and frown and walk off and didn't say nothing. This is a good verse. But see, if you don't know what I'm about to teach, things will happen to you and it caused you to be weary in doing good. But if that's how folk gonna treat you, then I'm done just trying to do what's right by people. You can't don't let folk take you there. I'm teaching good. Don't let folk take you there. Don't let people take you somewhere you don't need to go. Don't you have a bad attitude because they have one. Don't do that. Don't do that. Those who render evil for good, they are my adversaries or my enemies. Why, David? Because I follow what is good. When you dog it about doing good, it creates enemies. Do you know there are people who don't like you because you dog it about doing good? No, I don't like, he go to church too much for me. Yeah, I got a problem with him. What you got against him? Seems like, man, he just always think he got to be there with pastor. You hate him because he dog it about doing good? He's supposed to be there with pastor. He's supposed to be stepping right when pastor step. Oh, y'all don't like that verse. Y'all don't like that verse. See, let's explain what's going on with some people. See, the more you become dogged about doing good, see, you're going to have enemies. You're going to have adversaries. Y'all ain't never wanted pastor. You ain't never heard somebody say, well, pastor, all I do is I just try to treat everybody right, but still such going on. God never told you that by us doing good that everybody would love us. Listen, if that's the case, everybody who met Jesus would have loved him. Because the scriptures say all he did was went about doing good. That's all Jesus did. Now, you do know we have a past. Come on, some of you act like you were saved when you were born, but you wasn't. You got a past. All of us got a past, but we done did something to somebody that wasn't right. Come on. I'm looking around this room. There are some things I don't know about some of y'all. Yeah, I don't know everything about some of y'all. I know Minister Wright done did some folk wrong. Down there in New Orleans. Down there in New Orleans. She got a pass down there in New Orleans. I can go to some folks in New Orleans and talk about Wright. They go like, yo, yeah, let me see you. Oh, I want a piece of her. But Jesus went about doing good 24/7 and still folk. Hating him. Let me close. But remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 36, I believe it was. Jesus said this right here. He said, your enemies and your foes are of your own household. See, even the Lord know nothing can quite get to some of us like people treating us bad who we done a whole lot for. Them the one make you want to go cuckoo. Did y'all hear? Cuckoo. Because the enemy just keep rehearsing in your mind all you done for him. You gave her your last $100. Sure did. Needed it too. She had the nerve to count about $500 or $600 in my face and didn't even say, you need your 100 back. See, this too real for some of y'all. Jesus said, your enemies, your foes are of your own household. Job, no doubt, I got two scriptures, I'm done. Job would no doubt being dogged about doing good with all that him and his wife and family were going through. Yet his wife came in to him. Y'all, we got to read the Bible. His wife came to him and said, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Job, are you still doing what's right? Are you still doing good with all that we going through? And then she proved that she was his enemy in that moment. She said, why don't you curse God and die? Now, brothers, y'all can act like y'all just Mr. Wonderful all you want to. But for your wife to say something to you like that, you're going to think about what you just bought her for Valentine's, how you went out of your way, got her that necklace she wanted, and you did. Come on, Deacon Johnson, I don't want to go really be. Come on, you, it's a lot of things going to go in your mind. And the nerve of this woman. If anybody I thought would be with me, it would be you, baby. But you mean to tell me I'm sleeping with the enemy? I'm having dinner with the enemy? See, but it didn't kill. It didn't kill Joe Dawkins. No, it didn't. He simply looked at his wife. He didn't cuss her out. He didn't say nothing wrong. He said, you talk like a foolish woman. Let me give you two benefits of being dogged about doing good, and then we done. Just two benefits. I could give you a whole lot, but let me drop two on you, okay? Because somebody, you in here right now, you getting weary about doing good because of how you feel you being treated. Let God handle stuff. Psalm 37. Let God. God, I mean, no, God specializes. Y'all ain't know what I'm finna say. God specializes in slapping folk who do you wrong. Woo, Pastor, you should have said that, but let me say it again. God special. When you dog it about doing good, God specializes in slapping folk for doing you wrong. Nobody can get people like God. Nobody can deal with people like, see, that's what we just need to be dogged about doing good. Nobody can get to that supervisor like God. Woo-wee. Psalm 37, we close. I'm giving you two benefits of being dogged about doing good. Just two benefits. Are y'all ready for just these two? And then we're going to let it go. These two benefits about doing good. Psalm, being dogged about doing good. Psalm 37, because somebody, you need to say that you do not need to get weary about doing good. I don't care what's going on with you. It's well with you. Let me give you two benefits. Psalm 37 and verse 23. Notice the scripture carefully. The steps of a good man. The steps of a good man. See, if you dog it about doing good, you are in truth a good man. Right? If you dog it about doing good, sister, you a good woman. That's what makes you a good woman. Your doggedness about doing good. That's what makes you a good woman. That's what makes you a good man. A good husband. If you're a good husband, you dog it about doing good concerning your wife when you feel like it, where y'all at, husband, and when you don't. Yeah, y'all. Same way with our singles. Got to be dogged. But notice this. Here's the benefit. The steps of a good man or a dogged man are ordered by who? Are ordered by who? See, a benefit of being dogged about doing good is that God order your steps. He order your steps. He tells you how to deal with people. He shows you how to deal with things. He shows you how to come out of things. He orders your steps. See, my concentration, people are like, well, Pastor, how can you just be so dogged at doing good and this and this is going on? Because I know if I'm dogged about doing good, then God going to order my steps. God going to tell me what I need to do. Come on. And if he don't tell me, then I'm not going to do anything. Because I recognize I'm not a perfect man, but I'm a good man. I'm a good man. Final scripture, Proverbs 12, and we done. Proverbs 12, oh, Lord. Proverbs 12. You have to get scriptures in you like this or you're going to become weary at doing good. Yeah, you are. You're going to become weary. Mm-hmm. Some of you need to, you're going to listen to this message over and over. Proverbs 12 and 2. Watch this. Another reason to be dogged about doing good. If the saints receive it, Lord. Jesus. Hold on to it. Proverbs 12 and 2. A good man. What type man?
Good man.
What type man?
Good man?
A good man obtains favor from who? From who? From who? Tell your neighbor, when you're dogging about doing good,